You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Well, hey there, everybody. It's me, Joe Thrashenkill, and you're listening to another thrilling episode of the Toilet of Hell radio show. With me, we got a full house. That's right, everybody. We got first on the mic today. We're going to mix it up. We got Brent aside. Breno, how are you?
Yeah, fellas. What's up? It is almost the end of 2021, last I checked. We just got a few more days left.
Just got to hold on, and then everything's going to be easy from then on out.
I'm sure once the clock rolls around to 2022, everything will be fine. Nothing will be shitty. Everything's going to be okay. We've had two shitty years. We can't possibly have a third one.
I've never heard of like a rule of threes, so we're good to go here. And for that extra dose of optimism on that front, you know him, you love him. We got 365 days of horror, as we like to call him, Jordan. Jordan, things looking bright in the new year?
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There's just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true. All I want for Christmas is you. Sinking Joe Manchin's yacht while he's still on it.
You could put a spike strip in front of that Maserati. I bet that would be pretty cool, too.
Yeah, just the biggest protest failure in the world. Those people on their little kayaks rowing up to his yacht and actually talking to him. And no one boarded it. No one whacked him with one of the oars. Come on.
Dude, I would get on that shit and be like, look at me. I am the captain now. Like, fucking own that bitch.
I understand that there's a long history and, you know, a lot of good PR behind nonviolent protests, but I think we've tried enough of that.
I mean, when are you ever going to run into these people? You're not going to find them at the store looking at a gallon of milk and you're like, oh, hey, there's my senator. I have some things to say. He was there. He was on the water. It was maritime law at that point. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could just shoot a cannonball through that. It's probably fine.
Well, you just make sure, you know, you pressure him, you know, you write your letters, you push your little dinghy to make sure he's in international waters, and then anything goes, baby.
Yeah, man, just like Whale Wars the guy. Just throw, like, you know, those mason jars of stinky cheese on his boat.
Yeah, you know, the very least cause some amount of damage if you're not going to outright go for Capital One. that's my thinking of it. I don't know. Jordan, what do you think?
At least give him a pink belly or a purple nurple.
Yeah.
Wet willy.
Yeah. There's options.
Call him a dick face, something.
Sir, I don't believe you have our best interests at heart as a constituent. Shut the fuck up. No one cares. You gotta be a little bit more demanding. It is, as you were alluding to, Jordan, the Christmas season, the New Year season. We're recording this the 21st. It's going to go live the 22nd. And then everybody's going to disperse, go see their families, have a nice time, revel in the Christmas spirit and all that, likely come down with a nasty case of Omicron. So, you know, we ought to send everybody off right. You know, we gotta give them a gift, as it were, with quality content. How about that?
How about we stop naming COVID variants after, like, Transformers?
I'm still waiting for Unicron so we could all just have deep, bassy voices and, you know, talk about getting Optimus Prime and Megatron.
Yeah, dude, we had that Unicron toy, man. That shit was expensive. That was like $100 for that fucker.
I got COVID Jazz, and it just made me racist. Well, we're all going to be fine. We're all vaccinated. We're going to be fine. It's probably nothing to worry about, right?
I guess. I mean, there's so much mixed information. No matter where you go, like, is the vaccine gonna stop you from getting this? Or are you gonna get it worse with the vaccine? Does the government successfully microchip you or whatever? I don't know. I can't tell. So I'm gonna do the smart thing and just decide for myself and do my own research.
That seems fine. I don't think anything can go wrong there. Yeah, I've got a concept in my head of like what's safe and what's dangerous, and I'm sure that's wildly different from like what everybody else thinks, right?
No.
I went to a hockey game last night. I wore a mask the entire time, and people were looking at me like, who's this fucking asshole?
That's the thing, isn't it? Like, if I go out wearing the mask, people look at you like you're an asshole. Like, all this. Oh, really? You're still on that? Look, man, I don't know. Like, isn't it that the new normal? Haven't we all decided that now?
No, here's a really fucked up thing. I went to my nursing school orientation where me and one other student were in this, you know, classroom, like a full classroom, wearing masks, everybody else completely without it. So what does that tell you? I don't know. Tell me. I have no idea. Jordan, what do you think?
I think we're in for a lot of trouble for the next 5 years.
Forever. Well,
you know, that's good. At least we have an end date. After 5 years, it'll be fine.
Or we'll just be dead.
There goes my 30s, man. Or my life, whichever one.
Because we're back on it now. Like, it seemed like things were going fairly okay for a while. But now we're back on it where, like, every show flyer you see, you might as well just slap a canceled tag on that because it's not happening.
And Shadows Fall just had their reunion show in the Worcester Palladium with Unearth, Darkest Hour, Sworn Enemy, a couple other bands. Sold out. Place was packed. And the Palladium is big. And I'm just seeing pictures of people crowd surfing and standing shoulder to shoulder. And I'm just, I get the willies from it. I'm just like, no, not for me.
Yeah, because you were pointing out to me that, like, Unearth, like, they're done. They have to cancel their shit right now, right?
Unearth and Darkest Hour were, I think, supposed to play a couple other shows afterwards, like make a little mini weekender tour out of it. And a few members. The thing is now, it's not even say like someone in the band has COVID. It's like someone within our touring group or a member of the touring community that we're with tested positive. And I guess that happened for both bands. And you know, now they're upset that even though they all feel fine, that they can't go play their shows now because of restrictions, especially in like New York, where if you test positive or you don't have a vaccination card, blah, 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 these multiple reasons, you just can't play. And I don't know, man. Unearth toured a lot previous to all this, and I really don't know how much money they were making on any given tour, enough for it to like sustain them and to be their full-time job. I would have assumed in the past 2 years they would have other streams of income or have gotten some sort of money-making project to keep them going, and maybe don't need to go to Tuscaloosa on a Tuesday to play Endless for the 10,000th time. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. Gotta have hobbies in middle age, I guess.
Oh, man, what is that? What was their big jam back in the day? Like Zombie Copilot or something?
Yeah, that was the hit, even though it wasn't, you know, an actual hit.
Oh, yeah, it's like a hit in terms of just like Headbangers Ball hosted by Jamie Josta.
Right. It was on Headbangers Ball a couple times and showed up on some compilations and maybe like Burnout on PS2.
That was a little diddly, man. Remember when everything was diddlies? When fucking every single riff back in those like metalcore white belt days, everything had to be that little whittly diddly.
These kids these days don't even know about the whittlies or the diddlies.
Not at all, man.
Now they're all like, what do kids do nowadays?
Eat hot chip and lie.
Yeah, yeah, man. They don't whittle the diddles, that's for sure.
It's a damn shame. Well, you know, I guess we got this whole wave thing here. So things are going to get canceled. Things are going to get shitty again. If it's anything like the Delta one, I guess in 3 months things will start going down again and we can get back to normal for another 2 weeks, and then the next one will come and then we'll do this shit all over again, I guess.
They'll go down in the cities and the populated areas and make their way towards like the Midwest and the South, where it'll be exponentially worse because there's less vaccinations and less hospitals and less staff.
Well, I'm sure we can keep doing this forever, though.
Might as well die.
No, I don't want to bum out our listeners on this. this very special Christmas episode. Instead, we have to offer quality content because that's our gift, right?
We have happy things to talk about, too, and fun things.
Yeah. You know, Jordan, why don't you open up one of those Christmas sacks and give us a happy thing to talk about?
Let me unleash my sack on this one. The story that came out today and just was perfect for our holiday spooktacular. Because it involves so many good things in just one story. And this is from our favorite website ever, Blabbermouth.
Love it.
Sammy Hagar says he was asked to join Pantera as a replacement for Phil Anselmo.
What?
Are we sure about that?
Well, the funny thing is Sammy Hagar isn't even sure about it. So this was an interview he did with our good friend, and we're not going to say anything mean about him, with our friend Jose Mangan.
Good friend.
On SiriusXM, who did the interview, and this is awesome, in the back of Dimebag Daryl and Vinnie Paul's limo that was gifted him that we talked about like a year ago, just had a big laugh about how he was just scraping all the stains off the leather seats and cleaning off the shag carpeting. He's using it. People are sitting in there. They're breathing in those Vinnie Paul fumes.
There haven't been enough Lysol wipes like distributed in the nation to make me want to sit in that thing.
You know what? I'm just glad he's using the thing, right? There's nothing worse than, you know, getting this, making a big to-do about it, and then having it, you know, just sit on concrete blocks in your front yard.
Oh, this is worse somehow.
Yeah, it's better than, like, driving it around the country and having people pay to get their pictures taken in it or something.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure is what's happening next.
Two bits of gander, rather.
$10 to lick the console or something like that.
Fucking nasty, dude.
So in this interview with Sammy Hagar, Sammy had recalled the time where he was supposedly approached by Pantera's manager. And he was quoted as saying, "How about if I tell you something crazy? I don't believe it. I don't believe it's true." But Pantera had a manager. This was before I actually became friends with Vinny. And the manager had said, he said, "Want me to be the lead singer of the band?" He asked me, "Would you be interested?" And I said, "No, not after Van Halen. I'm not going to join another band, especially covering for someone else." And I brought it up to Vinny one time. He didn't remember it, but I don't know if there's any truth to that.
Well, this seems like wholly baseless speculation then. But that is my favorite kind of speculation. So it allows me to imagine a world in which he's doing, like, good friends and a bottle of Cabo Wabo.
Yeah, man, like, stupid speculation is just a legitimate replacement for the truth at this point in our lives, isn't it? Like, can we just agree that this is probably what happened?
I choose to believe it.
I mean, how do you go from just, like, you know, "That's what dreams are made of," to, like, a song like Broken or something?
Yeah,
where would he fit in that at all? Like, even Cowboys from Hell was just even had just a little bit more edge than your typical Hagar song.
Yeah, that would be the one song you think he would be able to pull off theoretically, and I don't see it happening.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could see a Sammy Hagar like Cemetery Gates maybe, but that's kind of where you draw the line, right? There's really nothing else he can do.
Right now, come on, it's peace in the wind. Right now, you keep this love, yeah.
Maybe, you know, they were on the outs with Phil there for a while. It could have been they wanted to go back to their, you know, their power metal roots. Yeah, that would have been fitting.
Man. They are huge Van Halen fans, so I could see them maybe interested in working with Sammy Hagar, because they did the David Allan Coe thing, right? Or at least Dimebag did.
Yeah.
So I can see this as sort of, well, Pantera's pretty much done, and, you know, the Damage plan hadn't started yet, so let's just play with all the people we love. Here's the David Allan Coe album, and I could see them maybe trying to do something with Sammy, because they love Van Halen.
Yeah, and I don't know, maybe Gene Simmons wouldn't return his phone calls or something.
And apparently this isn't the first time he's brought this up. in 2011 with an interview with Forbes, he said, I was asked at one time to be in Motley Crue. I was asked at one time to be in Pantera by their managers. I was asked to be in Velvet Revolver when Scott Weiland quit and went back to Stone Temple Pilots.
Oh, man,
I was waiting to be asked to be in Led Zeppelin to say no, since they were the greatest band on earth and no one could replace Robert Plant. I was asked to be in Aerosmith, and I said no. So apparently everyone has just been asking Sammy Hagar to be in their band, and he's just, he has too much pride, and, you know, he doesn't want to ruin any legacies.
Yeah, I've ruined one legacy. That's enough.
Well, he's not. Who's the third guy who was in Van Halen for like a minute?
Gary Cherone.
Yeah, he's not Gary Cherone. Let's be fair.
I mean, nobody is Gary Cherone.
What was Gary? He was an Extreme, right?
I believe so. One, you know, one of those one-hit '80s bands.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I listened to all of his material well after the fact. I was not exactly a contemporary fan of Sammy Hagar because I was 0 years old. But how was this guy ever like a known quantity?
Because dentists and ski-doo salesmen need to listen to something.
It's funny to me that, you know, this guy that I mostly associate with being the second banana Van Halen singer, and primarily the Jimmy Buffett of hard rockin', like, is just, you know, constantly in demand with all of these, you know, platinum selling bands. I don't see it. I don't know.
We could have had him instead of Jesse Lee's coming back to Killswitch Engage. We could have got Sammy Hagar in there.
Yeah, that would have been good.
I would actually be willing to give that one a shot. Yeah.
Have him replace Tim Lambesis in As I Lay Dying.
Yeah, getting word from the Power Trip camp that they're looking to replace Riley with Sammy Hagar.
Swing in the air!
Yo, get him to replace Chance and Skeleton Witch. That would be cool.
Yeah, there are so many bands and just not enough Sammy Hagar.
There are so many bands that are a terrible fit for this one guy everybody keeps asking.
From now on, in my mind palace, whenever a band loses a vocalist, number one on the short list to call, it's got to be the Sammy Hagar, man.
I mean, and that it's a really short list because it's two dudes, right? Sammy Hagar and Tim Ripper Owens. Just those two dudes.
Oh my god. See, I don't think that Ripper even has like the cojones to be like, yeah, Aerosmith wanted me to join.
That just the legacy ruining just masterminds that both these guys are. Gotta love it, man. I mean, hey, you know, money's green even if everybody hates you. So
that's true. I mean, that's being self-conscious about any of this stuff is a sure way to block your pockets.
Yeah, silly.
With the number of projects that Ripper's on, he has to be very reasonable in his rates.
He's on Cameo, right?
Rates.
I mean, I'm wondering if I can just hire him like to do vocals, you know, like on a $25 per call rate.
Yeah, like you just, like every time you need a vocal track from him, you just pay for the Cameo where he does it.
Yeah. Like, just sending it back to him, like, you're a little bit flat on this one. I'm going to need you to edit this file.
You're a little pitchy, Mr. Owens.
Yeah, you don't sound anything like the guy that you're replacing. In fact, you suck a lot more. Could you try to really just, like, up your game? Thanks, bro.
Has a band utilized Cameo to get, like, I don't know, a Mick Foley or, you know, a well-known celebrity-likeable person to, like, do their metal album intro?
Oh, and that's a great fucking idea. I really hope that starts happening.
Not even necessarily like, this is Mick Foley and you're listening to Fetal Juice, something like that. Just whatever you have written for him, just like cut a promo and like use our band name, and that'll be what we use for our album intro, for when we play live, like all sorts of fun things.
That's actually pretty brilliant. Who would you get to cut your promo for you?
I mean, there's so many choices. That's the problem. It depends on which way you want to go. And Ric Flair, if he's somewhat coherent, would be fun.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get him in the sweet spot where he's had 3 or 4, but not like 9 or 10.
I definitely
fun Ric Flair, not sad Ric Flair.
Yeah, I definitely want drunken Vince Neil to like do my intro for my album.
That would be kind of fun. You know, it, that could be good if you had like a DSBM act.
This is the noise music from my boy Benjamin, and he is gonna be really good. Big old 5-0 motherfucker. Here we go. Woo!
I ate myself.
Oh, Kevin Conroy is on Cameo. Oh, and the voice of Batman from the animated series. That'd be pretty good.
That would be pretty good.
If you guys do remember from our Cameo episode, I did feature Kenny G. I think Kenny G would be the get here.
Just getting some of these like wholesome celebrities just to absolutely tear into you and just curse and say all these awful things right before you kick off your death metal blast beats and all that. That would be kind of awesome.
I'm not going to repeat the name of your first track because I do personally find it quite offensive, but here's a little song I wrote just for you.
Hi, this is Weird Al, and you're listening to Fucked with a Knife.
I think that, you know, if I'm doing, you know, my ideal project, Slam, of course, like, gotta keep it simple. I want Stone Cold cutting a promo. Like, that's a great intro.
There you go.
That's a good
one. Of course, of course.
Again, Cameo is really the one good thing tech bros have given us in the last, like, decade.
Is it good, though? I mean, isn't it just like a recipe for celebrity sadness?
I mean, I'm not a celebrity, so like I don't really care about them. I'm having fun with their notoriety, you know, and that you get to play with them for money.
I mean, we did have the Crypt Keeper do our show last time, so that'd be another good intro.
Yeah, and that was sick as fuck.
Yeah, he did like way too good of a job.
Yeah, we didn't deserve that. That was unwarranted.
I mean, he does do the voice of like Yakko from the Animaniacs too.
Man, I'm looking at blabbermouth.com right now. Or sorry, blabbermouth.net. I don't want to send anybody the wrong URL. Net.
Right. Don't fuck that up ever.
It says here that ZZ Top sold their catalog for $50 million. And I saw last week that fucking Bruce Springsteen sold his catalog for $500 million. And I think this is fucked.
The writing's on the wall.
Yeah, it seems a little, you know.
I think they know that probably their new music and touring days are very limited going forward. And, you know, you can't take your music with you. It's you might as well make some money now and just kind of ride out into the sunset, play some shows if you want. If you want to put out an album, go ahead. But at this point, you're going to hear a sharp-dressed man in a commercial for McDonald's, and you're going to hear Born in the USA for a Huawei commercial.
I don't necessarily have a problem with these guys like taking a fact check at the end of their careers or whatever. It's just that I don't think we should live in a world where Bruce Springsteen is, you know, 10 times the musician that ZZ Top was, you know? But I have problems with the totals here. I think that's my issue.
Oh, but I mean, like, you know, music that's worth money isn't worth much. You know what I mean? I think that's the thing to walk away from here. What would you think is probably ZZ Top's best song?
I'm going to go, you know, like pretty standard here, but I think Legs is a pretty much perfect pop song.
I was going to go with fucking Legs, man. Yeah. That's the one. That's the fucking song, man.
That's a jam. It's a straight jam. It's undeniable. And
I know that the drummer from that one viral video put them back on the map with a sharp dressed man, but nah, man, it's all about Legs.
Yeah, I mean, like, they got a ton of good stuff, and not just, like, you know, their synthesizer era, you know, the earlier stuff from the 70s is good, too. It's just, Legs is a perfect song. That's all I'm saying. Springsteen needed $500 million to, I don't know, go on more extravagant vacations with Obama, I guess.
I think with Springsteen, you're buying like the imagery and the icon and everything that's behind the old Americana, that you could apply that music to like literally any product and it'll work.
It is kind of funny though that, you know, selling off his catalog to, you know, basically be licensed wherever, he can no longer pull that shit like I no longer want Donald Trump playing Born in the USA or whatever. It's like, well, no, that's you know, his use for a fee now.
I hope Donald Trump buys the $500 million catalog and then just uses it for whatever he wants.
That, like, that would be the funniest possible ending for his, like, the Bruce Springsteen legacy. Yeah, let's hope for funny outcomes here. Let's go with that one.
Speaking of legacy, I got a bit of news on my desk if you guys are interested.
Yeah.
2 hours ago, this Twitter account called Louisa the Last just tweeted out all the hand-wringing about how Marvel movies, etc., are destroying cinema made me wonder what the number one movie in America was back when cinema was, I guess, better. I arbitrarily picked 25 years ago today. Do you guys want to guess what that movie was?
25 years ago today?
Yeah.
I'm going to guess Jurassic Park.
No.
Nope.
What else happened 25? What year was 25 years ago? I can't do math.
Oh, man. Let's see. If you subtract 21 from the year 2000.
96.
Yeah. Twister.
Nope.
Fuck.
It was Beavis and Butthead Do America.
Okay. Yeah, no, absolutely. That's that things are not as good now as they were 25 years ago.
Right, but it's like the opposite point was trying to be made by this tweet, and Beavis and Butthead Do America was a good fucking movie.
Wait, is this person talking shit on Beavis and Butthead Do America?
This person is talking shit about Beavis and Butthead Do America because they're saying, like, oh, all the hand-wringing about how Marvel movies, etc., are destroying cinema made you wonder what the number one movie was. It was Beavis and Butthead Do America.
I guess I missed the part where Beavis and Butthead Do America got 27 sequels and a million spinoffs.
Right, and like 48 spin-off series on some streaming platform.
All I know is that none of the Marvel movies have Rob Zombie involved with some of the artwork for it, so guess who wins.
That scene in Beavis and Butthead Do America is the best work that Rob Zombie's ever done.
Before and then and since, that was the best thing.
Yeah, that was the apex.
Have you seen House of a Thousand Corpses?
Yes.
Yeah. We all have, okay? That's what he was capable of outside of that scene. We should have never allowed that to happen. We really should have just stopped there.
Sherry Moon Zombie, not in Beavis and Butthead to America. Rest my case.
Oh, man, it was Demi Moore.
Demi Moore and Bruce Willis, back when they were America's sweethearts.
And they were fucking killing it. They were so good in that movie. That's like some of their best performances ever.
It's a self-contained story about government overreach. It holds up. Go back and watch it. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I would suggest stopping the show and watching Beavis and Butthead Do America right now. It holds up. I mean, come on, 1996, 25 years ago. I could watch that movie right fucking now, tonight, and be entertained.
Absolutely. Yeah, again, would 1 million times rather just rewatch Beavis and Butthead Do America than whatever Marvel movie is coming out in the next, who cares? I just don't care.
I think Beavis and Butthead Do America is easily worth $500 million.
Agreed. Mike Judge, still killing it to this day.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I have a couple of things that I need to do right now. Number one is I need to press a button on a website that says complete. And I'm pressing it right now. And Jordan, I'm going to need you to check your email, okay?
All right.
Let's see if this works. Card declined. What the fuck? Just kidding. Jordan, can you check your email?
I'm checking it. Give me a second. Goddamn.
You got to check your email.
Checking. Joe sent me a gift. Oh, that's a very nice gift from you. You've been given a 1-year gift subscription to DDP Yoga from Joe.
Oh, man.
We were just talking about this earlier today.
I had a list of things I wanted to get you, and our conversation today sealed it. We were talking about wrestling.
Wait, what were the other things? Yoga. Maybe I could send this back if something else piques my interest.
No, based specifically on what we were talking about today, I think that DDP Yoga is exactly what you need in your life. I mean,
Thank you very much. Hopefully it will help me with my incredible, never-ending back pain, and it will give me the strength I need to become as handsome, young, and supple as Jake the Snake Roberts.
My question for you is, do you consider yourself in better or worse health than, say, Scott Hall?
Oh, much better.
I think it's going to be great for you.
I can stand up. I'm okay.
Yeah, you might not get any appearances in an Insane Clown Posse movie, but, you know, still doing a little bit better.
You know, we do have the contact, the PR contact for ICP, so never say never.
Yeah, you sent me that email earlier, and I really need to get in contact with them.
Yeah, man, that's the gift that keeps on giving. We need to do that.
Here's the thing, Breno.
Joe.
I am trying to send you something right now, like desperately trying, and I'm going to send you the screenshot of what I'm trying to send you right now. But if you will notice, that little button there is grayed out, and it's pissing me off something fierce. So as soon as I can figure this out, I'm sending it your way. So, you know, it's as good as yours. I'm not changing my mind. You can't fucking tell me nothing. So okay. here we go. I'm putting this in the chat right now.
In the Skype chat.
In the Skype chat.
Okay.
Did it go?
No fucking way. Really?
Yes. This is important to me. Again, based on our conversations this week, the general malaise we all have related to lockdowns, pandemics, depression due to all of these things, the solution to your problems are, Jordan, you need to do DDP yoga, and Breno, you need to play Resident Evil 8.
I can't wait to be chased around the house by my 9-foot-tall new mommy.
Man, I'm the one that has to work out and sweat, and he gets to play video games.
Look, Joe and you both realize I'm much, much fatter. It's all right. I'm already past the point of no return. This is good for me, okay?
I'm just picturing like me sweating and doing all the workouts while you're sitting on the couch playing, going, well, you're doing it wrong.
Who says I'm not going to be sweating during this?
God, it's so hot in here. And then just, you know, wipe your brow with some French fries.
Oh, catch me, mommy. Come get me.
Hurt me, mommy.
I think that's exactly what you both need, though. You know,
perfect.
The you know, solution to our problems can't be, you know, one size fits all.
Most sizes don't fit me at all, so this is perfect. I'm very happy about this. I can't believe that I somehow dropped a hint completely by accident yesterday. Like we were just talking about video games. And yeah, I haven't played a lot of video games recently, which is surprising because there's been so little to do. And now has been the time for video games more than ever. Just sit inside and relax. But I've been like so dead to the world that I don't want to challenge myself after I come home from work. I literally just put on Netflix or Hulu or whatever and just sit there while the picture box just flashes colors at me. Like I refuse to push buttons. After so many hours of already doing that,
I completely feel you. And like I have the Xbox Games Pass or whatever, so it's like, hey, there's a huge list of games you can play, you know, with your subscription included or whatever. And I'm just like looking at one, realizing it's going to be 3 hours for it to download to my Xbox. I'm like, I don't want to fucking play anything.
Yeah, so I see what you're saying about the grayed out box, though. Purchased as a gift, it won't allow you to purchase it as a gift.
So I have two friends on Steam. One that I added as a friend like 12 years ago when I had a PC, and I tried to add you, and I'm wondering if like neither one of these work.
Well, I just added you back, so
Ooh.
Maybe refresh the browser. Let's see what happens.
Let's see what it does. No, that didn't work. But I'll figure this out. I will figure this out before end of day. I also can download like the app, the application. That probably helps, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you just got to restart the whole thing. Are you in like the Steam application, or are you in like
I'm in the browser?
Oh, see, that's where you've gone all wrong.
I fucked it all up.
That's all right, buddy. We're gonna play some games, you and me. We're gonna play some Call of Duties and Apex Legends or whatever the kids are into these days. We got Fortnites and you know, all the things that aren't actually on Steam.
Yeah,
I keep mentioning.
I want the games that, like, the companies are selling NFTs.
Oh yeah. Do you have a computer you think that can do the task?
So like, I pre-ordered one of those handheld Steam machine things, but it keeps getting pushed back to God knows when.
Oh yeah, I would never ever order like peripherals from Steam. That shit is real dodgy.
Yeah, I had high hopes for this thing, but they keep being like, "Yeah, it'll be available sometime before you die."
Well, thank you so much, sir. I really appreciate the thought, and I really look forward to getting my hands on it. Regrettably, and I will mention this out loud, I do have items for my boys here. Somehow, I always manage to have things, but I never manage to get them to them anywhere near the amount of time it takes to get them to them in a reasonable time frame during the end of the holiday season. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and pull the old-fashioned internet excuse to end all excuses. It's probably some level of ADHD. You can just say that that's what that is. Why did you slap that policewoman? I have ADHD.
I love that one. You know, back when I was doing a bad job at my office job, a common thing I would use is my stomach hurts.
But now you can just say ADHD. Yeah. You're fine.
Why'd you blow up that bus full of pregnant nuns? ADHD.
I'm sorry, yeah. I'm neurodivergent.
Yeah, I literally saw the, like, you know, alcohol with ADHD little picture menu the other day. Somebody put up some kind of fucking flow chart of how you act with alcohol and ADHD, and it was like, no, that's just alcoholism. That's just how that's always worked.
What if I'm not an alcoholic, though, and I just have ADHD? I don't have a problematic relationship with alcohol.
Hey, man, get yourself some Ritalin, or what do they call it these days? Adderall?
Oh, yeah.
And you'll be set, brother.
I mean, I would gladly trade booze for speed. That one's more my it's more my style anyway.
Yeah, you get a suppressant and you trade it for a stimulant. Man, I don't know. That seems like the way to live, right?
You know, got to go on all cylinders at all times. Underappreciated thing, you know. Not that I know anything about abusing stimulants or whatever, but it is how bad you smell at like the end of the day. Just like,
is that how that works?
On edge and sweating for like 19 hours.
I get it, man. But yeah, nothing too stimulating going on this end. So I'll be very happy to play some Resident Evil Village. That game looks metal as fuck. I'm pretty stoked for it. I actually really liked Resident Evil 7.
It was too scary for me. I quit like in 10 minutes.
Did you?
Yeah.
You missed like a really insane game. You got to get back into that.
Yeah, Jordan, did you play that one?
No, I'm not much of a Resident Evil fan. My girlfriend got me the remake of Resident Evil 2, and I just find it frustrating. Like, just give me some fucking bullet. Just let me shoot these things. And just running around going, oh no, don't hurt me, zombies, and like shoving them off you. That's not fun to me. Just let me shoot shit.
Oh, it's survival horror, though.
But I want to kill zombies.
Yeah. Oh, man, get Back for Blood. It's like the spiritual sequel for Left 4 Dead. You got to get that. That's the new goodies game right now. I got to go get myself. We'll play that shit together, you and me, Joe. We're gonna shoot zombies and a lot of them.
Hell yeah. I like that.
I guess I'll be too busy doing DDPO. Get to play video games with you guys.
It's for your own good, damn it.
You can just, like, play video games with us while you have your legs, like, swung around your back and standing on top of your head. It'll be fine.
doing downward facing dogs, screaming in pain while playing video games.
Yeah, there you go.
And it's nice that you got me the healthy thing, because I wasn't expecting any gifts, and I got myself a particularly unhealthy gift. It's been a long time since we've done one of these, but I got myself a ridiculously flavored soda for this show.
Oh man, what is it? Because I'm thirsty right now. I feel like this is gonna be awesome.
It's not completely off the wall. It's Mountain Dew, but it's Mountain Dew ginger snapped.
Hmm. That sounds that sounds bad, Ben.
And you, like ginger snap cookies, right? You all know what those look like.
Yeah.
What color would you think the liquid would be for a ginger snap cookie?
So you got a brown, like a kind of like a sickly doo doo brown.
You got like a diarrhea in a bottle kind of.
No,
thing.
I don't. It's white.
Oh.
Oh, it's even worse somehow.
All right. Well,
why is ginger snap cookie Mountain Dew white?
Well, why don't you snap open that cum soda? Let us know how it is.
I don't even like ginger snaps either.
No one does. Nobody under the age of 80 is like, ooh, ginger snaps.
I mean, ginger ale is and has been a soda for quite a while.
That's ginger ale. That's much milder than like a ginger cookie. I worked in a bakery in college for a couple years, and whenever there was like leftover cookies or like it was expired so we couldn't sell it but it was still fine, we would just leave it out for any of the workers to just grab one or two. It was always like ginger snap cookies, and you get real sick of those real fast, and that's all there is for weeks on end.
Yeah, the Trader Joe's like the crystal ginger loaded ginger snaps, those are pretty good. I've had those a few times in my day. I can't imagine how this could be anything but terrible.
It smells just like ginger snap cookies.
Now correct me if I'm wrong. Is this the Mountain Dew where they have all the metal theming all over the bottle?
Well, it's mostly just a bottle, and they now have the tiny little wrapping around it. But they do have at least two badass looking gingerbread people, one with a green mohawk and one with a green eye patch.
I apologize. The one I'm thinking about is Mountain Dew Thrashed Apple. And if you ever look this up, it's just like a bunch of apples like playing metal on the box, which is enough for me.
It's just Scott Ian looking sad saying, please pay me.
Yeah, it's a bald ass apple looking motherfucker playing guitar, so it's essentially Scott Ian, yeah.
All right, I'm taking a sip of this.
Please go ahead, yeah.
It could have been worse.
Okay.
It could have been worse. It's not good. I'm not going to finish this. But it's not like offensively overly ginger cookie. It's still there. It still tastes like candy ginger cookies, if that makes sense. Just like the sweetened blast of artificial gingerbread flavor.
I'm taking umbrage with you not finishing the soda. There are...
God damn, I'm looking at the sugar on this. There is no way I'm finishing this. I will see through time if I drink all of this.
What are we talking, like 72 grams?
72 grams of total sugar.
What the fuck?
Including 72 grams of added sugars. For 145% of your daily sugar intake.
How big is this bottle, man?
It's a small bottle you'd get at like a gas station for $1.99.
Oh my god. I was going to say that there are, you know, children in China that don't have overly sugared sodas to drink right now, but maybe you should not finish that.
Probably for the best that they don't.
Yeah.
Oh man, this one's a real tummy buster. It has 73 grams of carbs. How is that possible? Is there actual cookies in this?
Listeners, you know, let us know if you want us to do a deep dive on all of the weird, obscure Mountain Dew flavors that we try on the air here. Let us know in the comments below. We'll definitely do that, and it'll only be Jordan drinking them all.
What the hell is glycerol ester of rosin? What is
of
that?
Rosin?
Oh, it's rosin.
It's obviously glycerol that you get from rosin.
It sounds like it's a shitty metalcore band from 2001 on Trusco Records.
Yeah, it's definitely some white belt whittily whittlies like the beginning of the show we were talking about.
Darkest hour ass chemical.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It sounds pretty nasty, but I do appreciate Mountain Dew's commitment to keeping things extreme here in the year of our Lord 2021. At least we can count on something, right?
Yeah, this is going right down the drain.
Well,
not with the calories.
Yeah,
it's really not. Like, at least let me enjoy something that's bad for me. Don't like suffer through it and then make me feel awful and bounce off the walls.
There are too many Mountain Dews. Just kind of going through the gauntlet here. They got a Flamin' Hot one now.
Ooh,
is that like
cake?
The Cheetos Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew.
I gotta assume so, right?
Yeah.
Flamin' Hot Cheetos and then the Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew. The one I'm most intrigued by is Cake Smash. It's like, have you ever had like the birthday cake flavored ice cream? I gotta assume it's like that.
Oh, yeah. No, my mind went to the wrong place there, I guess.
you went to something more adult?
Yes.
Just people smashing Mountain Dew bottles on their asses.
There's alcoholic Mountain Dew now. There's hard Mountain Dews you can buy.
That seems like something you could easily just do on your own, right? I hope no like people of adult age are going out and like, oh well, this saves me so much time. I just buy it all combined here.
I don't have to
swirl a bottle in a parking lot. It's already done for me.
I don't need the handle of plastic Kirkland vodka, Mom. I got this now.
Yeah, I saw at the grocery store the other day they had Sonic, you know, restaurant fast food flavored hard seltzer or whatever. Because, like, you know, when I was in high school, it was a thing that you'd do in a one-horse town. You'd go buy a large soda, flavored soda from Sonic, and then pour whatever just god-awful plastic handle of shit you had in there. And, you know, perfect. You had a spiked lemonade or whatever. It's making these kids lazy nowadays. That's my take on it, you know?
Well, color me disappointed. I thought you were going to say it was a Sonic the Hedgehog hard seltzer.
Gotta go fast.
Gotta go fast.
But again, like, I don't think Sonic is, well, they did make the animated movie recently, so I guess it still appeals to children and not just like
furries
in their 30s.
Just children and man children.
Yeah, yeah.
Together at last.
I don't know. It would be kind of weird if you went to the liquor store and saw like a Super Mario, like limoncello.
I don't know. I'd drink it.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely would. It'd just be like, well, I don't know if canonically Mario should be drunk.
I feel like Mario was always drunk the whole time. He just looks like a little fucking drunk.
I mean, he wasn't a drinker though. He was a heavy psychedelic abuser.
Wario was the drinker.
Yeah, he was a mean drunk.
Yeah, Wario's definitely trash. Yeah.
It's a mean drunk. Wah.
Let us know how you like you know, Flamin' Hot Dorito, Mountain Dew, or whatever the fuck. I think it'll be pretty good.
If people want to send me weird things to drink, I will have a sip of one or two and then, you know, pour it out, but that could be a thing.
Speaking of sending stuff, I think we've waited long enough for the inevitable conclusion of a really super good episode. We got to talk about these boxes that we received in the mail from one of our very best friends in the world, Joe. Did you get yourself a little something in the mailbox, sir?
I got a little boxerino here from 1365 days. That's what the mailing address says.
365 arino days arino of horror arino.
Yep,
that's something
that's
in the
exactly
box.
Exactly what arino, the postage label arino. Says.
I say open up that bitch. Let's find out what he did to just completely treat you this year.
All right, I got this. I got this here box in front of me. I got a shitty implement with which to open it, and I'm just doing the thing now. You hear that? You hear that?
No.
Let me do it louder in the microphone.
Do it louder. Blow out the fucking speakers on this one.
All right. You did a good job taping this one, bro. All right. Okay, here we go. I got it open. I'm doing the thing. Oh boy.
Oh yeah.
The first thing in here, shrooms. Plant-based mushroom crisps in spicy jalapeno flavor. And I reckon I gotta open them shits up, right?
I figured it appealed to your enjoyment of consuming vegetables and drugs.
Yeah, no, that's exactly all of my interests in one.
Go thrash and kill. Vegetables and drugs.
These motherfuckers, these are straight mushrooms. It's corn nuts, but with mushrooms.
Yeah, they're like freeze-dried, right? They sell them in stores around here.
Let me give this one a little nibble-orino. That is a corn nut, but mushroom, and it is delicious. I love this.
Fantastic.
I'm just going to eat, chew into the microphone for a little bit. People love that. Mm-hmm. Pick these things up if you see them out. They're good. And they're mushrooms.
Yeah.
Oh, holy shit, dude. Holy fucking shit, dude. Holy fucking shit, dude.
I can't see it, Joe. I'm on a microphone. What is it?
This is a Soviet hockey jersey. 100% polyester, made in the Soviet Union. Damn, I wish I had this last night. I would have gotten some ugly looks.
Now that you're in an official hockey town, you can wear that to games and just let us know how it goes for you.
Dallas is maybe a little bit less progressive than other places in the world, so I think this is going to be so much fun. This
wearing
thing whips
cowboy hat and
ass.
Howdy, comrade. Howdy, comrade.
You got a big red star and like the laurel around it and some acrylic letters that I can't read. What does it say, Jordan?
It's like CCCP.
Fuck yeah, dude. Fuck yes. This is the coolest gift, dude. Thank you so much.
And yeah. You'd finally have a long sleeve item to wear for when your power grid fails in a couple weeks and you're going to be all chilly.
The proud Soviet Brotherhood going to keep me warm. I have additionally in this box, I got me a big old lucha mask that, if I had to guess, this is the lucha version of Clown from Slipknot.
It is Coco Verde.
Coco Verde. He's got the green yarn for hair. This is sick, dude. Oh, man, it even has the laces. This isn't like some shitty zip-up affair. This is the real lucha deal.
Yeah, battle ready, if you will.
It's gonna take.
Now you can let everyone know that we live in a society.
This is ideal, though. It's going to take my opponent much longer to attempt to unmask me, which will have an opportunity for my short valet friend to step in and save me from the indignity of being unmasked in front of a live audience.
Coco Pequeno.
Oh, my God. There's more stuff in here, dude.
And the good thing is I sent this a while ago, so I don't remember everything that I put in.
So this is exciting for both of us.
Let's see. I've got a DVD here. This is a four-movie collection titled Action Classics Unleashed, featuring Steven Seagal in Flight of Fury, Steven Seagal in Out for a Kill, Steven Seagal in Shadow Man, and Steven Seagal and Eddie Griffin in Urban Justice.
Damn, dude. Those are all the best ones.
This Eddie Griffin one is surely like his answer for like Rush Hour, just him pretending to be Chinese, right?
Like usual.
I can't wait to see that one.
Honey, we're ordering food in tonight. We're watching some Prime Cinema.
We just got a new DVD player in the mail today, so this is ideal. I have a baggie here featuring what appears to be, and I could be wrong on this, appears to be coasters from the film No Holds Barred.
That is correct.
This is incredible, dude. There's some prime Hogan faces in here. He looks like he's about to burst. He's crying. Tiny Lister is yelling. There's that guy in a suit who's yelling. It's ideal.
Those are coasters I'm going to give a shout out to my friend R.D. Reynolds from WrestleCrap.com. On Etsy, he has a shop called Coasty Marshmallows, and he makes all sorts of fun coasters, not just wrestling, video games, all sorts of cool stuff. So if you ever just need a fun gift or need coasters, it's a good place to go.
These are fantastic. They're going to go on my dining room table because we need coasters. And there's nothing better that I want to do than put my beer down on Hulk Hogan's face.
On Hulk Hogan's face saying, Dookie.
Oh, sorry, I've got a dog who's unhappy with me for having a good time.
Excellent, good boy, yeah. Which one is that? Is that Franklin or Nathan?
That's Nathan. He's unhappy because the cats are doing something without him.
Nathan, shut the fuck up. We love you.
Dude, I have a box set here. The Samurai Trilogy, three films by Hiroshi Inagaki, the Criterion Collection featuring Musashi Miyamoto, Duel at Ichichoji Temple, and Duel at Ganryu Island. I'm pretty sure I pronounced all those right, right?
No, but that's sick.
I just figured... once you finish watching all of the Steven Seagal movies, you'll just need some crap to watch.
Sorry, you got me pretty good on that one, buddy.
Yeah.
Here is the most devilish thing I think you've ever sent me. And you've sent me some incredibly reactionary shit in the past.
It's a tradition.
As is tradition, yeah.
I have a book here entitled The Plan, Big Ideas for America, written by Rahm Emanuel and Bruce Reed.
Why?
Oh,
former
man.
Congressman, former mayor of Chicago, and now the ambassador to Japan, Rahm Emanuel.
Two people that it cannot be stated enough have ruined this country. this is great, man. I have a big pile of books that make people look at me a little bit sideways. This is going to be a great addition to that. You get a whole shelf in the prominent display in the apartment.
You should just hide it amongst all of your other leftist books and wait for people to find it and ask you about it.
Yeah, this one goes right next to the Slavoj Zizek.
It's the Communist Manifesto, Rahm Emanuel book. Yeah, everything seems to be in order here.
Anarchist Cookbook, Mein Kampf.
He's got to read it and just shake his head disapprovingly the entire time so people know he's not agreeing with it.
Exactly.
I disagree with this wholeheartedly. I have a cassette here, and you guys know how I love cassettes.
Mm.
It says on the spine, Macho Madness, Savage on the Stick. The cover features, you know, a red and black picture of the Macho Man Randy Savage, 237 pounds out of Sarasota, Florida. Jordan, what is this record?
It is an hour of Macho Man Randy Savage promos and interviews.
Holy fucking shit, dude.
That's fucking awesome.
And that's actually ideal because I can rip this and I can put little snippets on the cassettes that I'm making. You know, tracks sometimes need an introduction.
Yeah. Oh, please. Definitely, like, rip all of those and just send them my way for future editing, please.
You're going to need these, bro.
I am.
Additionally, I've got two trading cards here. Classic WWF cards featuring Mr. Fuji doing a dastardly powder-in-the-eye trick on Sergeant Slaughter.
And, oh, dear.
And Coco Beware looking cool as hell. This is an incredible package of goods. Jordan, you are the best gift giver in the world.
Thank you. Is there anything else in there, or is that everything?
I think that... Oh, wait. No, I'm stupid. Okay, this is pretty tight. I have some OG NFTs here, by which I mean I have a Ziploc bag full of Lil Homies. I got a little evil clown. I got an essay in a wheelchair. All of the favorite homies.
Definitely the best and littlest homies.
They don't do them like this anymore, kids.
So for people who don't know, they've never seen them before, or they're, you know, not from the U.S., the homies are like little 2-inch collectible figures, like plastic figures, of like Mexican Americans or Chicanos. And I used to see these like at a supermarket. When you go past the checkout, you can drop in 50 cents and you get gum or a Super Bowl. And they started selling these, and I was kind of like, even I think it was like in seventh or eighth grade when I saw them, just shocked that they were selling these little Chicano
I remember those
figures.
Dude.
And the guy who created them is David Gonzalez, and it was kind of, I guess, created positively to kind of show people who he grew up with and all that sort of stuff. And some people didn't take it the right way, but it's kind of it wouldn't say it blew up, but it had its little following and had like some cultural impact, that sort of stuff.
A moment in the sun there. I remember we had them at the grocery store I used to work at. Like, God, I was probably 18, 17 at the time, and they still were selling that shit.
I mean, if you're a fan of Cholo culture, you can't go wrong with homies. this whips. This is so awesome. Jordan, you are the very best.
Thank you. I'm glad you guys like it. Your enjoyment and your happiness when opening these gifts do mean a lot to me, and to me they are a gift unto themselves.
Well, don't speak so soon. I might hate everything I'm about to find in here. One Jordan 365 has sent me a box as well, and I have yet to tear into this bad boy. If we have time, if that's okay, I think I'd like to do that.
I think you better do it.
I think I'd better. So I don't have anything. I'm just gonna get this with my bare hands. Oh shit, I got it. Here you go. Oh man, that's probably the cleanest box open of my life.
Very well done.
Very well done. Here we go. Okay, number one here. Okay. So the very first thing that I open up is a bag of potato chips, the New Orleans kettle style Evil Eye.
Ooh.
And it's just like this really odd voodoo macabre kind of packaging for what I could assume are probably just some pretty good potato chips. It's got like all sorts of pulp horror looking eyeballs all over the bag.
Wait, are those
it's like,
Zaps?
It's like a little Zaps. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a quality chip.
I've never had them before. They don't sell them up here.
Oh man, those are the best for sure. I haven't had the Evil Eye though.
I'll have to break into some chips. But we're not done yet, man. I got a lot of stuff.
Break
here.
Into the chips now. You can't. All right, can't leave people hanging. They want to hear your ASMR.
For extras, let me just. Oh man, these things are coated in something. Beware of the Evil Eye, the famous New Orleans voodoo queen Marie Laveau. We're gonna reference Marie Laveau in our potato chips. Was rumored to have one. In the spirit, Zapp's Evil Eye kettle style potato chips are subtle with mild heat, yet bursting with flavor. Experience the essence of New Orleans with Zapp's Evil Eye. Try if you dare. Oh, yeah, I fucking dare, bro. Let's go.
You've been to New Orleans, so you could tell us if it does, in fact, taste like New Orleans.
Really? I mean, it tastes like ketchup chips, but it's fucking delicious.
No, they're not ketchup chips. They're Evil Eye chips.
No, I'm pretty sure that's ketchup.
Ketchup.
Like a spicy ketchup, man. That's good as hell, man. Let me...
That's that good ASMR, the mouthful.
Okay, moving on. My next piece of memorabilia here is the WWF World Wrestling Entertainment presents the history of the World Heavyweight Championship. The fucking history of it. It's a 3-disc DVD set.
It is kind of funny that they have a DVD focus on like the only title that they actually focus on.
Yeah. And I mean, going through here, wow, it's got all 3 discs and everything. No, I'm just, okay. So let's look at some of these matches here. Okay. So they got WCW stuff as well.
What?
That's where the belt's initially from.
I guess that's true, isn't it? Like, yeah, I didn't. Yeah. I never remember that. I keep forgetting that WCW got bought by. It was such a stupid thing when it happened.
Wait, the WCW had the cruiserweight title, and the WWF.
They had many titles.
Yeah, they had the Intercontinental title in the WWF, right?
They had okay. So 1993, Vader versus Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah. We'll just keep jumping around. We got The Rock versus Chris Jericho in 2001. No Mercy. Damn, dude, these are some sick matches. Rey Mysterio versus Randy Orton.
Oh, that... Huh.
Kurt Angle versus The Undertaker. Triple H versus Shawn Michaels. Fucking obviously. Oh, dude, 2002 Triple H versus Rob Van Dam. I'm going to watch the shit out of this. I'm going to fire this up when I can find a DVD player to do so. That's sick, man. Thank you. Tucked cleverly away in the... DVD box set, I found a single pin button of what looks like Dusty Rhodes with his arm around a Gorilla Man on a microphone while he's wearing a suit.
Who's the Gorilla Man?
Well, I don't know who the Gorilla Man is. It's just a guy in a gorilla suit. I don't know who it is.
It's not like Kay Manito.
Guess is probably Tony Schiavone, the interviewer, announcer.
And, continuing on with the theme of wrestling box sets here, I got the great WWE greatest stars of the 90s. And this includes what it looks like to be WCW as well as WWF. Oh, man, that's sick. It's like you got all the pictures promoted on the back. You got Shawn Michaels wrestling Vader. Vader and, like, Yokozuna and stuff, man, those guys used to be a big deal, and they probably didn't last that way for very long.
I think they're both dead.
They are both very dead. Yes. Shawn Michaels, Bret the Hitman Hart, obviously Yokozuna, even fucking Mr. McMahon puts himself on the back of this. What a chump. What a clown.
His company.
Yeah. I am the star of the 90s. Mick Foley, Ric Flair, Owen Hart, Triple H, Hulk Hogan, Undertaker, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Razor Ramon, damn, Sting, Lex Luger, Paul Heyman, Eric Bischoff, et cetera, et cetera. That's cool as shit.
And there's so much Eric more. Bischoff is on there. that's a bit stretch calling him a big star of the 90s.
Yeah. Big star, Eric Bischoff. Oh, great. I have a WCW trading card for Sting, a.k.a. the Stinger. This is like old school Sting.
Surf Sting?
Copyright 1991 WCW. So this is bleach blonde Sting from way back. Trading card just randomly sitting atop this book, which is The Complete Headbanging History of Heavy Metal by one Ian Christie.
Sound of the Beast.
You guys familiar with Ian Christie?
I have that book.
Yeah, it's a sweet book. Oh, man, there's pictures. Of course there are. Otherwise, I wouldn't have my man baby attention span kept with this. This is excellent. Sound of the Beast, The Complete Headbanging History by Ian Christie. I will read that and probably comment on what I disagree with based on the things I've read already. Okay, there's a I have a magnetic poetry kit that is zombie themed. So if you've ever been over to the house of your coolest friends, on their refrigerator doors, they have just random words sort of mishmashed all over the door, and you can just arrange it to say really inappropriate adult things before you leave. And, you know, that's always lots of fun. So that's what this is just like a random arrangement of just zombie themed names. I see Creature, Mindless, Infect, Madness. So, yeah, Mindless, Creature, Madness of Infect Everywhere. Right there you go. Sorry, sentence.
You're making poetry already.
I'm making poetry over here. Zombie poetry. All right, moving on. Continuing on what I dig with. Oh, man. This is a 2017 Evolution trading card for Booker T. But it's not like really a great tribute to Booker T whatsoever. It's literally just him sitting in a leather chair with a headset on in his suit back when he was like some fucking forgotten jobber that they just had commentating poorly after and before pay-per-views. Which is really just like
he still does it.
Yeah, it's my favorite thing that ever happened to Booker T. It was just such an end of a career.
Harlem Heat never got the respect due.
Oh, he's a sticker for the Spartan Recording Company in Seattle, Washington.
I pretty much just put it in there so you could throw it out.
Oh, thank you. I'm not familiar. What is the Spartan Recording Company?
Just a record label that I've had the sticker for years and said, eh, Brando can throw this out.
Brando can have it. Fuck it, guy. Now, here is something that I'm going to assume is something that coincides with Joe's gift, whereas instead of Macho Man Randy Savage, I have Rowdy Roddy Piper, 230 pounds, Glasgow, Scotland. And I'm going to assume that these are his promos on tape.
An hour of Rowdy Roddy Piper promos and interviews.
That's excellent. Just cutting promos.
Who put these cassettes out?
I'd have to see if I can find the web. I just randomly found the website of someone selling just bootleg wrestling interviews. Let's see. Oh, I actually do have a link to it. TheLokiLabel.StoreEnvy.com.
That's about the most niche thing I can imagine, and it's incredible that you found it.
Completely random, wasn't looking for it. I maybe someone tweeted something about it and just found this really weird niche but awesomely cool thing.
Oh my god, I gotta talk about this next item real quick. So I got a set of coasters as well, but the coasters are these like 16-bit or 8-bit portraits of all the different WWE wrestlers from whatever video game this came from. Like when
from
you're
the
in this
WrestleFest, the arcade game.
Yeah, that's right, WrestleFest. And these were just like the character select faces when you're going around picking. Like, I got Macho Man here. I got Hulk Hogan. Oh, dude, Ultimate Warrior, obviously. Oh man, the Honky Tonk Man of all people.
Yes.
Dude, Big Boss Man, when he was like just a cop and he wasn't like dragging people's dead father's caskets around the ground.
R.I.P. Ray Traylor.
That's right. Damn, dude, these are definitely going all over my table, regardless of how my wife feels about it.
Get very those excited. Bugs out of the way, honey. We need wrestling coasters.
And bring us down to our very final item, which is inside of this bag. Oh, man, this looks like a T-shirt of what? I don't know. It's blue. That's not usually the gimmick. Holy shit. I don't even know how to describe this. I will send you guys a photograph. And I think we'll just, you know, look, this is, how do I describe this to the listeners? This is a deep blue T-shirt.
I couldn't do black because of the writing on it. That's why it's dark blue.
Of course. And it says the band name Megadeth, not the Megadeth logo, just black print Megadeth at the bottom. And the screen print is a John Arbuckle, a one John Arbuckle from the Garfield comics, completely in the nude, except for his tennis shoes here. And he's just posing in a sultry sort of pose next to a rainbow with like the sun in a field in the background.
I'm looking at the image right now because Jordan sent it to me, and it is possibly the best Megadeth shirt ever created.
Oh, it's definitely. I mean, I thought that you really couldn't top the Napalm Death shirt. I've been wearing that. I still wear that shirt. Now I must wear this one. I really don't have a choice. Like, I'm going to be walking around my life in this T-shirt. And I'm sure a lot of people are going to disagree with that, but that's okay because, you know, this is just me in a T-shirt. This is like liquidized Breno just kind of put out on merch. It's insane. I love it so deeply.
This is perfect. T-Public user Dank Futura, right?
Well, hey, thank God for him.
I can't wait for shows to come back so you can wear that at a show.
Yes, the first show I go back to. God bless America. I'm wearing the fuck out of that shirt. Thank you so much. You went above and beyond like always. And I'm speechless. I don't know what to say. This is just like, these are the best presents, man.
It was a slow build on yours. It was building up to that.
I'm really glad that you curated the box in just such a way, you know, that was at the very bottom. You knew. You were like, no, this goes in the bottom. This has to be wrapped up more. He's got to get to this.
And get to earn it.
Right. It's perfect. You could have just sent that and I would have been way stoked. But instead, I get that and all these amazing extras. Very exciting, man. Thank you.
Again, undefeated, still to this day, best gift giver in the world. 1365 days of horror.
If anyone out there just wants gifts, hit me up. Let me know. I enjoy sending fun things to people. Preferably not international because it is expensive as hell. It was expensive to send you guys this stuff. It's crazy.
Yeah, post office raised their rates a couple months ago. But this is incredible. Honestly, I can't wait to wear my Soviet Union hockey jersey out to a Stars game, and I'll report back on how that goes.
Yeah, I think we need pictures of you guys wearing your stuff on Twitter.
Absolutely. I will definitely do that.
I do want the cowboy hat, the bolo tie, and the Soviet Union hockey jersey, and just tipping your cap, you know, ma'am, Tavarish, yeah. Comrade.
I got both those items. I can gladly put that on.
Wear it to job interviews, weddings, DSA meetings you don't go to.
Bar mitzvahs.
A lot of bar mitzvahs in the Dallas area.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a few. I think that, you know, we're a little bit over time, but goddamn, this has been a lot of fun for me. I don't know about the listeners. Well, fuck the listeners. I've had fun.
Yeah, fuck you guys. I never give a shit.
It's
about
too late
you guys.
Now. You're already here with us.
Yeah.
Again, Jordan, you're the very best.
And thank you for your gift as well. And Breno, thank you for your gift. You will eventually send.
It will. It will arrive. It will. I don't know when, but it must.
Folks, I hope that you have a wonderful holiday period, whatever you're doing. Take care of yourself. Love one another. Spirit of goodwill and all that. Well, I guess we'll see you next week.
Yeah, keep it metal. We'll see you next week.
Happy holidays. Be safe. We love you all.
Bye.
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 You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.